On today's episode, getting your first vaccination when you've been treated like a second-class citizen, the gray area between a vibrating egg and a threesome, and getting frustrated when somebody
finishes your sentences.
All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red dots. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
This is me, Lori Beth Denberg, and thank you for listening to the Bad Advice Podcast. With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello, says Clark in a guttural voice that would scare a child.
Yeah, I'm in my cartoon bear voice.
Yes, well, what we know about Clark is that Little Red Riding Hood's grandma is definitely in his tummy as we speak.
Exactly.
So what's going on?
Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. How are you doing?
I am doing good. Yeah? I'm excited to share with you and the dear listeners that I got my first COVID vaccine.
Yay!
I got the first shot. I got Pfizer.
Okay.
Now you got Moderna, so now we are enemies.
He did. Yes. Well, we're not enemies. We're like, you're on House Pfizer and I'm on House Moderna. Like we're in Harry Potter.
Exactly. House Johnson & Johnson is definitely Hufflepuff. Like Neville Longbottom is smack in the middle of Johnson & Johnson That's House. Right. And Slytherin is all the people that aren't going to get it.
Slytherin's the anti-vaxxers out there.
Oh, Harry Potter meets political satire. Just really like good. They always intended. So I used a website that your wife showed me.
Yes, yes.
And I was eligible, as were you, because as of March 15th in Los Angeles, if not California, I'm not sure.
Not sure.
Being enough overweight qualified me and Clark to, or anybody else. It wasn't just aimed
just
at us.
Us.
How can we get Clark and LB in here?
Like we're the only two fat people in LA.
Yeah, exactly. So that made me eligible.
Yep.
So I go to get my, shot at this place. It was in North Hollywood, California, which means not a lot to people who aren't from our immediate area.
Right.
But apparently it was a good day it was a good day overall,
sure.
But it was not like crazy there. The line wasn't very long, but the chickie comes up to me. There's all these volunteers.
Sure.
Young people there helping. And so they're coming up to everybody. I hear them. And the first thing they say to everybody is, how are you eligible today?
Right.
And, somebody says, oh, I have, whatever. Because, that's the whole point.
Right,
don't want people sneaking in going like, I'm 89 years old.
Exactly.
Which I heard there's a woman that dressed up like a really old person.
Wow.
And got the first shot.
It worked?
It worked, but then they found her out, and I don't think they gave her the second, which is, like, stupid.
Isn't that harmful? Like, you'd have to get it. Like, are they sentencing her to death?
No, I don't know the ins and outs of it, and quite frankly, it might not be a true story, but I really think that I did hear that from a reputable source.
Interesting.
And I feel like she wins for creativity.
Yeah, right?
She earned it. But, so, the chickie comes up to me with her clipboard. She says, how are you eligible today? And I go, I'm really fat. And she laughs and she goes, do you have a doctor's note?
Oh, no.
And I just kind of looked at her like, I need a doctor's note to prove I'm fat? Like, I thought this was pretty obvious. And then I said to her, and she's laughing along. She's kind of rolling her eyes like, yeah. Because, you would. If you say, I have, pulmonary disease. I have to get my shot today. It's like, well, we need some proof of that.
Right.
So I said, I didn't know I needed a doctor's note to prove I'm fat. I said, I can take my shirt off. And, she's laughing too. And they ended up having a form for it didn't say like fatty fat ass form on the top, but it was a few, comorbidities, and you kind of circled the one you have, and then at the bottom, kind of like under penalty of, you know, blah blah blah, right. I assert that the above is true, and I sign that. But it was just really, really funny. Like, it's almost just kind of like, well, thank you for doubting me. You like, are sweet.
Did she think you were trying to Norbert her? Like, yeah, it was all like a big fat suit, and you were going to walk away and take off your makeup and you're Eddie Murphy?
That's why I said I could take off my shirt. Because I was like, okay, how would someone fake this? Like, okay, I have something on under here as a pillow or a toddler that I just strapped to my chest. So that was my response. That's was so like, funny. I could take off my shirt. Right. I mean, it was just really pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
And, you know, she gave me that form. Everybody there was, even people, yeah, a couple people I saw came and then were, you know, turned away because they had to have a doctor's note. Nobody was an asshole.
Huh.
The volunteers and the professionals there were so great. You know, they have, for anyone who hasn't been yet, and this is my experience both when I got my shot and when I took my dad to get both of his vaccinations. You go through the line, you do your information, you talk to, you know, medical professional, you go get your shot. And then there's all these chairs set 6 feet apart that, you know, you sit down for at least 15 minutes because if someone's going to go, you know, anaphylactic, if someone's going to have a major reaction. That doesn't need to happen in the car on the way home.
Right.
We need to be able to see that and have them get medical help, you know, immediately.
Right.
So even while I was just sitting there, a couple people that were volunteers came by to just ask how I am, to point out again, here on your card, this is where you need to, you know, go to this website to make your follow-up appointment.
Nice.
So it was a really great experience.
Oh, that's great.
And yes, I just, if I ever have to prove I'm fat again, and it was just such a funny moment.
That is so funny. Yeah.
Like it's funny now. It would still be funny if I had been turned away. Right. It wouldn't have been at the time, and I wouldn't think so now.
Yeah, but it would be a little funnier.
And one of those jokes where it's like, yeah, I had to go back and get a doctor's note that said I was fat. I was like, do you need a scale? Do you have a BMI caliper here?
Oh my God. That's so
everyone
funny.
Was so great, and I'm super stoked. I have a appointment for my second.
Okay.
So that I will be a complete human being.
Yeah, you might get it before me because the Moderna, you have to wait 4 weeks between shots. Well,
now here's where we get competitive. When's your appointment?
I'm pretty sure it's either the 6th or the 7th.
I'm April 10th, man.
Get in right before you.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, you had yours.
I know, I've had mine
like
for a
week
while.
Before me.
Still.
It's going to be like a circle jerk. Who can get it? Who can get it first? And it's medically prescribed to not get it soon, but I got to beat Clark.
I'm very happy, though, that you got your shot. And we've both got plans for our second. And hopefully there's a future where we can actually go out and see people and give people hugs.
Yes.
That would be really nice. Another thing that I wanted to talk about before we go into questions is, you know, this is we're getting up close to Earth Day, which, of course, I know because it also happens to be my son's birthday, which is very cool.
It's Lex's Earth Day birthday.
Yeah, but we were talking about what kind of questions we could ask for you guys. And we thought maybe since Earth Day is coming up, there would be a lot of questions about travel. So I was thinking maybe if all you guys out there had good questions about travel or where to go or how to pack or whatever you'd like.
Yeah, I've traveled pretty extensively.
Yeah, Lori has very wide knowledge of traveling.
Well, let me just make myself less cool than I made myself stand.
Okay.
Sound. I have extensive knowledge traveling domestically.
Yes.
I have not been round the world.
Yes. I have been outside of the U.S. several times.
Yes.
My wife has actually been on every continent in the world.
Yes, she has.
So I'm sure
in the last year, she really did not abide by
COVID restrictions. Yeah. She said, fuck that.
I know. She's been everywhere.
Jumped
but,
on our jet and flew off.
So questions about travel, especially as the world starts slowly opening up,
yep.
that kind of stuff. Send us your questions.
Yeah.
And then we will answer them, and then you will be cured of all your ills.
And you will all be smarter for it.
Yes.
But speaking of questions, why don't we move on to our first question of the day?
Okay.
All right. Our first question is from Ariel, or Ariel, or however you want to pronounce it.
Ariel.
Ariel. And she says, hi. My name's Ariel, and my boyfriend of 10 years and I want to spice up the sex life and invite another woman into the bedroom. Someone we don't know that way. It's strictly sexual with no emotional connection. Obviously, we would all be tested prior for COVID and STDs, but I'm just worried once we go back to just the two of us, our regular sex life won't live up to that experience. Any advice?
Well, it's interesting to me that you're like, we want to spice up our sex life by doing this once.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, just to, you know, address the concept in general.
Right.
You got to really think about this. Mm-hmm. You got to do some research. You got to know if someone else has done this,
mm-hmm.
You know, bringing someone else into the bedroom. Right. I was going to say the relationship, but no, the bedroom.
Yeah, it's different. It's polyamory and polysexual. This is yeah. more of like a polysexual.
Yeah. A super cool hookup. there are dangers with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you cannot guarantee that someone won't catch feelings for someone else.
Sure.
It's just, there's nothing you can guarantee about that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you just pick someone like so gross, right. you know, that you're like, ugh.
You're both hating doing it while yeah. you're doing it.
And you're so glad when it's just the two of you again. So there are risks to this. It's not yeah. as easy as, oh, let's try this.
Right.
You know, but if this is something you want to try, and I don't know, you know, Ariel, if you're bisexual, if that plays into it, and you want to add this as a part of your sex life,
mm-hmm.
then it doesn't necessarily have to be just this one time if right. you choose to do it.
Right. It's true.
So that's something else to look at too. I'm wondering why it's kind of like, well, we're going to do this and we'll have a crazy week, but right. then it'll just be the two of us. So that's something to look at.
Yeah.
A, do we really want to do this?
Right.
Knowing not just the like salacious, Cinemax late night movie. Nobody under 80 years old knows what I'm talking about. You know, the fantasy of it, because there's the reality of it too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that can
That's
be
the scary part.
Very different. It's a risk.
Yeah.
And so it needs to be a calculated risk for both of you.
Yeah.
And really lay things on the table. Like you've already said, here are the parameters thus far.
Right.
So, you know, just be very conscious of that and really think it out. And
yeah.
if you do decide to go with it and you like it, then I don't know why it has to be the only time.
Right.
And also, what's really interesting about this is, you know, you want to spice up your sex life. Both of you are like into this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's lots of ideas that don't even involve, you know, there's a lot in between we're boring and having intercourse
right.
and we picked up a hottie and
right.
now it's the three of us.
Right.
You know, go.
A lot of gray area.
There's a
in
lot
between there.
Of gray area. Yeah. Roughly the length of a hard dick. But, you know, there's a lot of fun to be had.
Sure. I do have to say, this shouldn't be your way of fixing mm-hmm. a problem. I would hope that you're saying you want to spice up the sex life. I would hope that your sex life currently is awesome and great and you love it. And by spicing it up, you want to add a little excitement, and that there's nothing wrong with that. I just really hope that there isn't some other underlying problem that this adding another girl into the relationship is supposed to be fixing.
Yes, that's such a great point.
That would be a really bad sign.
Yeah, that's the same thing as like, our marriage is a failure. Let's have a baby.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and
very
adding
dangerous.
This whole other layer yeah. of shit going on.
Exactly.
So that's a very good point, Clark.
So if your sex life right now is fantastic and you really like it and you just want to make it even better, awesome possum. But then if that's the case, I wouldn't be worried about whether going back to your awesome sex that you're having now is going to turn bad all of a sudden.
Yeah. So I'll just give you a couple examples of experiences I've had. Okay. As far as things that can spice things up and be fun and salacious.
Without bringing Barbara from accounting back
exactly.
into the bedroom.
Okay. Barb gets down at night, Clark.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with Barb.
She tosses her glasses off and throws that calculator behind her. Shit is on. So I had this little toy. It was just a little egg that goes on your clitoris, a vibrating thing with a little battery pack, and it has a remote. Mm. So I gave that remote to my partner at the time.
Yeah.
And we just went out.
Oh.
You know, it's we're mobile, we're on the run, and at any point, he can turn that on.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Black and Decker. You couldn't hear it. Right. It wasn't like everyone in the deli was like, what?
You weren't reaching down to your crotch and pulling like a pull string. And
it wasn't smoking or sparking. But, you know, that's just this like really fun thing that was like hot.
Spicing it
up. And fun and funny and like gave him control in that situation, you know, put a dynamic onto it. So there's things like that.
So let's keep going with that though.
Okay.
How about, you know, a week or two after you did that experience, super fun, super great. Did that experience then, you know, now you're going back to regular sex. Was it like, meh, I wish we were doing it like, going out. That was the best when we were out in public. And did it influence the rest of your sexual connection with him?
I think what it did is to add this little experience that we shared together that was fun and funny.
Right.
And added to like everything kind of snowballs.
Right.
It snowballs and blue balls until snowball is another thing too. Yeah, everybody after this, go look up Urban Dictionary.
Please don't.
So
don't
it's
do that.
Yeah. And it, and that kind of fun being that, you know, some would call that extraordinarily adventurous.
Right.
Some would call that, you know, but the more things you try like that, the more open you become.
Right.
So it's like, okay, we can do this. You know, you can get to know each other more and be more open. I know you've been together 10 years.
Right, right.
Ariel and your beau.
Right.
So if, like, Clark hit it on the head. If this is supposed to fix something that's out of gas, it's not the right move.
That's right.
But if this is, we need to do something. I love you. But, you know.
Right.
Try some other
Wouldn't
stuff
first. Wouldn't it be
fun?
Wouldn't it be silly?
Exactly. Wouldn't it be hot as balls?
Yeah.
So, yeah, try every. I'm sure you can get everything you ever needed on Amazon. Although, listen. Shop at some mom and pop sex toy shops.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We got to support the local vibrator salesman.
That's absolutely right.
Yes.
100%. And every town has one. So,
yeah. So whatever you do, Ariel, just make sure you know what you're getting into.
And can I also bring up, since we're talking about that, how wonderful it is now that you can put on a mask and then walk into the sex shop. If anyone was ever too embarrassed to go into a sex shop, now is the time, my friends.
Put on a wig and a mask.
Put on a wig, put on a mask, and walk into a sex shop, any sex shop you like, and buy everything you want.
Were sex shops on the original list of essential businesses?
Essential workers? Probably, probably.
Where can I get my essential oils? From the essential sex shop.
Well, Ariel, I hope that helps. And please be safe. And I hope you don't ruin your 10-year relationship. Let's move on to Elizabeth. Elizabeth has a very interesting question here. She says, My mom has certain habits in her patterns of speech when she's talking to me. The things that mainly bother me are that she either repeats the same info multiple times when I understood it the first time, or she interrupts me to ask or say something that I was already planning to answer or say. It's so frustrating. I've told her a million times that her communication style is not conducive to a comfortable conversation for either of us. She just won't change. She has a very can't teach an old dog new tricks attitude. She thinks she's perfect and doesn't need to adapt. So my question is, why is it that parents are unwilling to adapt in order to have a better relationship with their children?
Oh, Elizabeth, unfortunately, I don't think the vibrating egg and remote is going to help in this situation.
No.
So I'm not going to suggest that. But also, I really identify with your mother.
Mm.
And I don't mean like she's the right one. I mean, I do that too.
Oh.
I interrupt people when they're speaking to me to predict what they're going to say. Mm. A lot of times I'm right, but I do it so much that I stop myself and in my head, I will literally to myself say, just listen, just listen,
right.
Just listen. I physically have to stop myself and try to remember that because
right.
It is so satisfying to finish someone's sentence. And part of it is if someone is having trouble articulating something,
yes.
I am a lot of times able to say, you know, but it was too cold to go to the zoo, so you just stayed home, and that's why you watched the movie, which was so great.
Right.
Like, that's a so strange, like, not real example.
Right.
But I am pretty intuitive with that so that I am able to let the person know if they can't quite get it across, like, I really understand what you're saying.
Right.
However, that's not my job, and that's not always why I'm doing it. Part of it is, like you said, Elizabeth, your mom, it's like, well, I want to tell you what you were going to say.
Right.
I want to tell you what you were going to say.
Right.
And that, speaking from the other person's point of view in a conversation with me, that must be fucking obnoxious. And I also do have your side of it as far as like with my parents, where it's like this, you know, well, I wanted to do that, but now that you said it, I don't want to anymore.
Right.
You know, and it's like, could you just let me have a moment?
Right.
And that can be really, really difficult. And it's shitty because it sounds like you've spoken to your mom.
Yeah. And she refuses to change.
You were like, mom, it really bothers me when you try to finish what you're saying before you said it. Yes, that's what I was going to say, mom. Case in point. I might suggest only texting your mom because she can't interrupt you.
It's true.
Although it'd be really funny if she does get to it. Like, well, your three dots are there and then she texts what you're going to say.
That'd be funny.
I would also interrupt her.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It's
aversion therapy.
Fair's fair.
Yes.
That's not bad.
Well, I mean, fair is petty. But even if it's just to give her the idea. But it is like you said, old dog, new tricks. Like my dad is 76 and I almost just said trombones.
Oh.
Because I'm such a fucking theater nerd.
There's trombones?
Well, 76 trombones. Oh, the 76 music man.
Trombones.
It's wow, Clark has gotten cool.
Yeah,
he forgot.
Sorry, I missed that one.
So my good.
Yeah.
So my dad is 76 and there are things that I just, here's one example. And this doesn't compare to your excruciating, horrible relationship with your mother, Elizabeth. But my dad, we have one of those Keurig machines that make coffee.
Mm.
And it has the reservoir for the water.
Sure.
He refills it every single time he makes a cup.
Okay.
It's full. He makes one cup of coffee and then fills it up again to the top.
Mm.
And I was like, we should use the, like,
it's a reservoir.
Theoretically, there's been water in there for years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it never gets to the bottom and we refill it. It does get,
it's like a sourdough bread starter.
is.
It's just the same kind of shit in there.
And so it does get, you know, it hasn't been years because it does get emptied out and washed and with the vinegar and everything. Sure. But, you know, and we were there and I said, Dad, you know, maybe we should use it because it's been old water. And he goes, he says, well, yeah, but it's on the bottom. And I go, Dad, it's not grain. It's all mixing together.
It's true.
But at the same time, I just fill it up.
Yeah.
Like whenever I use it.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Look, I have dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And I found that out late in life. And it really changed my attitude on a lot of things. But this is one that it fits perfectly with because honestly, Elizabeth, I would probably get along very well with your mother because I think one of the reasons why LB and I work so well is because you do finish people's sentences and I have trouble finishing my sentences because I can't remember words. Pulling specific words out of my brain is incredibly hard. So I compensate by using a lot of like buddies and pals mm-hmm. and, you know, I call people by their hair color. I call people by whatever it is. And I think there's a lot more of that than people really understand yet.
Yeah.
And it's possible, Elizabeth, that maybe this is your mom's way of compensating for something. Maybe your mom has some kind of neurological condition that makes it hard for her to remember stuff.
Yeah.
And when she repeats what you just said, it cements it into her brain. She's compensating for whatever that disability is. You know, it's a minor disability, but still, maybe it's something as simple as that. It could be easy for you as well to maybe keep that in mind, know that's how she talks, and just try and adapt to her ways, unfortunately, because she's clearly not willing to adapt to yours.
Yeah, but I think the crux of Elizabeth's question from her point of view is, I'm getting no respect. Mm-hmm. I'm being treated like a kid, like my opinion doesn't matter, or like I don't know what I don't know as much as my mom. So she has to finish my sentence.
Right.
And that's what's really difficult about it. Patience is patience. I don't know how old your mom is.
Yeah. That's
like, I don't know that she's Alzheimer's-y, but if she is, my thing with this is again, and this Elizabeth, your question is just, you know, off to the side here, because I deal with, you know, a lot of people are older and, you know, like my age and their parents are older and they have dementia and they have, you know, Alzheimer's and stuff. And my whole thing is I don't try to correct them. Mm-hmm. I don't say, you know, my dad was in, after a back surgery, was in a care facility.
Okay.
His little neighbor in his room, his roommate, totally had dementia, totally had sundowning, which is, you know, in the evenings, some people just go off their nut and get really angry with dementia. Yeah, it's totally a thing.
Yikes.
But this guy, I can't remember his name, but his wife's name was Myrna.
Hmm.
And he just wanted to talk about the horse race and the money he won on the horse race and how we were at the horse races. And he had the conversation with me, you know, 20 times.
Wow.
And every time I just said, that's great. How much did you make?
Like,
I can understand how people would get completely fucking frustrated.
Yeah.
But it's a losing battle.
Yeah, it's like fighting the waves of the ocean.
Yeah. So, and it made him happy.
Yeah.
To just have this conversation and be living in whatever moment he was living in.
Totally.
So, and his horse won every time.
Oh, good.
So, but Elizabeth, what I'm, you know, I really do hear you saying, like, I'm a fucking adult.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth, Mom, and let me say my piece.
Yeah.
And you can take into consideration everything. You've done a great job in talking to her. On the petty side, you could just start talking much, much louder. Or wear noise-canceling earphones so that you don't hear what she says and you just keep talking.
Or just repeat what she's saying. If she's repeating you, it just turns into a big cycle.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that round of row, row, row your boat.
Exactly.
I just see you doing that for hours and hours until one of you passes out. It's like the pussiest drinking contest in the universe.
All that being said, if your mother is 50, she's not an old dog and she can learn new tricks.
Yeah, right?
If she's in her 60s, 70s, 80s, yes, absolutely. But if she's younger, come on, man.
Yeah.
At that point, mom's just being an asshole.
Yeah.
So.
And you could throw that at her.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you have dementia that you're unable to adjust to anything?
Right.
Are you okay, mom?
Has she not touched a cell phone? Because that's new technology.
Mom, do you smell toast? Do you taste copper? I'm worried about you.
So hopefully, Elizabeth, that helps.
Don't see how it could have.
Well, I'm saying might. You never know. It's good advice. It's bad advice. It's what we do.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next question. And our next question is actually an audio question. It's not even really a full question, Lori Beth. This is a reply. We're getting actually a comment back from our friend Sean from Savannah.
A follow-up schmallow-up.
So here you go, guys. This is Sean from Savannah returning her phone call from our last question.
Hey, guys. It's Sean again from Savannah. I listened to your advice. And I think that something you said resonated very, very hard with me. You said, this is about my mom rewriting history with the adoption thing. It was very, very taboo on my mom's side of my family. She has only brought it up one time, and that was just to ask me where Mick was living. Don't know how she knew that she moved. My mother's never spoke of Mick with me. My dad's side of the family, very open. We talk about her all the time. They're all friends on Facebook. It's a wonderful relationship. So I've decided, because I'm a little bit petty, that happens when you're 4'9", you get really mean and really petty. I've decided that when Mick gets married in October, I'm going to post lots of pictures of me and my other daughters at her wedding. And that way I can open that door up for my mom to come to me. So I'm going to take beautiful pictures of all of my daughters with all of us together to open that door. I just wanted to thank you guys so, so much. I work 3 jobs, and in my 2 afternoon and night jobs, I have to listen to you guys to keep me occupied and laugh and cry and smile and go through all those emotions, and I greatly appreciate it. Please keep doing what you're doing. Love ya.
There you go. That's Sean from Savannah.
Thank you so much, Sean, for that. Clark did tell me we got a reply from someone, and I'm always like, oh, this is going to be someone who just ruined their life by following our advice. Like, is this the subpoena? Is this me being served with papers? Right. So I'm so glad. First of all, I'm so glad that you are enjoying the podcast and that it has a place and keeping you going. That means the world
to both of us.
Yeah. And then thank you for just, letting us know what's up. But I want to say that you going and celebrating at the wedding with all your daughters and taking pictures, that does not need to be framed as petty.
No.
That is the greatest joy ever.
That is 100% a fantastic way,
To
show your mom what she's missing out on.
Well, no. That's not even what I mean. Regardless of your mom, that's a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've said this before, but I'm a big proponent of leading by example.
Yes.
And you're showing her. You're not even showing her. You are living your life with your daughters. Now I'm talking in my Savannah accent. I have the worst habit of doing that as an actor thing. So that is just a magical, wonderful moment.
Yeah.
You know, you gave this child up for adoption when you were young. It's not the ruinous point of your life. You have a wonderful relationship with her, as do your daughters, as does your, you know, dad's side of the family.
Right.
This is something to celebrate.
Yeah.
And it's like, then you can say, like Clark said, you know, well, your mom could see what she's missing.
Right.
But do it for you, girl.
Absolutely.
Do it for the girls. Do it for the memories. Do it for the family.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with being petty. That's kind of part of, you know, what's ingrained in us. And believe me, I'm sitting here spouting this to you when I do the same fucking thing. So thank you for letting me talk to myself, give myself some advice. But I just hope that you have the most wonderful time, because you deserve it. All your girls deserve it.
Yep.
And you know what? Your mom deserves to enjoy that love too, and she doesn't know it.
Yeah.
Or she thinks she can't.
Yeah.
And if you're leading by example by saying, yeah, you're my mom, and you, I know you said the last time you called in that you do love your mom.
Right, right.
So it's, you know, you're not estranged, but she can see this love, like Clark said, of, you know, what she's missing out of. But maybe to flip that more positively, what she could have,
right,
you know, what's waiting for her to step into.
Right.
So just have the most bestest time. And I loved what you said about you get pretty mean and petty when you're 4'9". I can just picture you to a T, and I know that we would hang out constantly.
Yeah, that's true. It's very good. Very good. I'm so happy to hear from you, Sean. This has been a fun adventure that we've all taken together.
Now, but Lene, let us know what's going on with the cow.
Yeah, seriously, where's the cow right
We're
now?
We're going to be in episode 100, and Lene's going to be like, all right, just checking in.
But yes, Sean, fantastic way to handle this.
Yes.
You really did. This is a great way to do it. Very proud of you. Let's, I think that wraps up our questions for right now. And it's time to move on to the rotating segment of the week, which I am very excited about, because it's yet again another brand new game.
Ooh.
And this one's called, Why Does LB Know So Much About The Simpsons?
LB loves The Simpsons.
I kind of do.
So let me see. Let's preface this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell a little bit of a story.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm a collector.
Yes.
I collect stuff. I have toys. I have movie props. I have statues. I like collecting stuff. And one of the things that I collected in the early 2000s was Simpsons toys by Playmates. They made this whole line of Simpsons, over 100 characters, play sets, all this stuff. And I bought them all when they first came out. I've owned them. I've displayed them. And I was just packaging them up to put them away for a little bit. And as I was putting them away, I thought of this game for you, because Lori Beth is the biggest expert on The Simpsons that I've ever met in my life. And I thought this would be a hilarious way to show all of you listeners out there how much incredibly random information LB knows about The Simpsons.
I do want to say, though, just in case anyone's wondering, Clark opens all the toys.
Oh,
we've played with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We do the voices. Lex has played with them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah.
not like, these are not to be touched.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I like to use my toys as toys.
Toys are toys.
So here's what we do. I picked out a couple of different characters, and I have the toys here with me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show LB their accessories only. So she's going to get the little pieces that came with that toy, and she has to figure out what character those pieces came with.
Ooh, you said figure it out.
Oh,
people
hey.
Know now how serious I'll be about
right?
this.
Right? Okay, so here we go. This is number one.
Okay, let me see it.
There's no way you're going to get it from just this.
Okay. These kind of look like building blocks or stairs. It's a three-tiered brown rectangular object.
That's right.
Okay.
Any guesses yet?
No.
Okay. This will help you figure out what you're actually holding.
Okay.
Here's item number two.
What I've got here is a tape gun.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering if this has to do with the box factory.
Okay.
In the episode Bart Gets Famous.
Okay.
Is that true?
We're getting close.
Okay.
Can I give you one more?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to give you this one. Now, you can't go for the first answer here.
Okay.
This is an open box, similar to the other boxes.
That says Kirk. Oh, is this from A Millhouse Divided, where Luann is packing up his shirts and then sets them on fire?
Here is number four.
Is a little gas can.
And here is Luann Van Houten that you correctly guessed.
Luann Van Houten. That episode is weird. There's this really weird... Well, first of all, they really get divorced, the Van Houtens.
For seasons.
For seasons and seasons.
Yeah.
But the actual, scenes are really awkward. When they show up, the whole thing falls apart at a party at the Simpsons house.
Right.
Like a dinner party.
Yes, and they're playing Pictionary.
They're playing Pictionary, where he famously... has to draw dignity. So they have this big fight, the whole thing unravels, and it's very awkward. And then they say, Lisa, sing a song. And she just starts singing, "You're a grand old flag." And it's very surreal and very strange.
Yeah.
And I like in this scene that this play set is representing, she's like, she's so happy. She's packing up his stuff and then she lights it on fire.
But she packs it up so nicely and then tapes it up for some. Yes. Clearly it's meant to be going away and then she just destroys it all.
Yeah, she does all that work. Okay, so I feel good. I got this one.
Oh, yeah. That was okay. That was really good. That was pretty impressive just from a box and a tape gun.
Yes.
Okay. So let's move on to the next character. Now, this is going to be a bit of a trick question.
Uh-oh. Right?
Here we go. So I'm going to give
you. Is it Family Guy?
No, it's not Family Guy. This, again, the first piece you'll never get it from.
Okay.
So here's piece number one. And it's a little bent.
It is a little bent. And it is a pole.
It is a pole.
It is like a light lamppost. Or is it a coat rack?
I will show you by adding number two. Piece number two is a plastic
bungee
velvet
cord.
Rope.
Oh, a plastic velvet rope.
And here is piece number three.
Wait here. Is this from Flaming Moe's?
Nope.
Wait here. Okay, plastic rope. There's two kind of light poles. The one says wait here as though there's a line.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so yep. There's gonna be a line in here and something you can't cross. Is that my last clue?
I have one more clue for you.
Okay.
But it's a big one. This is gonna be the one that gives it away.
Okay, hopefully.
You ready?
Yeah, but I don't have a guess.
Again, this is gonna be a tough one.
Okay. Oh, this isn't Jub Jub, is it?
That is Jub Jub.
Okay, so that's Jub Jub. And Jub Jub, we should say, is an iguana that Selma was willed by her deceased aunt.
Yes.
And she actually says, why didn't she just leave me the bowel obstruction that killed her? So that is really good. It's
so your answer is?
My answer is Selma.
Absolutely. Okay. 100%. And the question is, any other person out there who watches The Simpsons, even somebody that considers themselves a big fan, if I put Jub Jub in front of them, how would they know whether it's Selma's or Patty's? Only you would be able to differentiate those two sisters without even seeing their face.
So, but what are these? I don't understand.
So that's for the DMV. She works at the DMV.
That's the DMV.
And it's the line here. Line starts here. The waiting line to get into the
DMV. Okay,
but
I'll take it.
100% Selma, that is correct.
I'll take it.
Okay, so here's my next character. And this is going to be a fun one.
Okay.
So piece number one. Is again very obscure, very very meaningless.
This is not a looking glass, not a spy, a magnifying glass.
Yep.
Okay.
That's number one.
So we have a magnifying glass.
Here's number two.
We have an eye chart, and a magnifying glass. So I'm kind of thinking Dr. Hibbert.
Okay.
But from your tone, I think that's not right.
All right.
Okay.
You want another piece?
Yes.
Okay, here's number three.
Number three is a cane. Yep. Is this Mole Man at the DMV?
Are you ready for your last piece?
Yes.
It is a football.
Football and groin. Is it Mole Man?
It is Hans Mole Man.
Hans Mole Man.
LB loves the Simpsons.
That was pretty fun.
Right?
I can imagine how fun it was for people not seeing the accessories.
I mean, do they really need to see a little plastic football? I think they can understand what a little plastic football looks like.
The groin had a football in the groin.
I love that this isn't the character, the toy from the episode of Football in the Groin.
Yeah.
But he's just, you know, how do you put out a Hans Molman toy without giving him a football to go into his groin?
It's really funny. One of my favorite memories. I did for about a year a Simpsons trivia once
a
month.
That's right. And how many times did you win?
Most.
Like probably 80 to 90% average?
Yeah. I mean, I would say there might have been one or two times in the totality of the few years, couple of years I did it,
right,
that we didn't place my team first, second, or third.
Right.
And we were known as the ones to beat. So you would come up with a team name.
Okay.
And they were funny. Some of them were, I always thought it'd be funny to be like, The Simpsons, you know, like if you could pull it off ironically, but all different, you know, references from different episodes. And sometimes it would bring in, you know, current events and stuff. And so one of my favorites was a team. This was after the Oscars, at which there was, you know, an oops moment.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, Moonlight had heart, but football in the groin had a football in the groin. That was after, you know, La La Land was erroneously
taken away.
Yeah, they were announced as Best Picture, and then the guy came out. He was like, "No, oops. No, we're already on the ball for being racist as shit. We cannot let this go a second longer." And it was a super honest mistake.
Yeah.
You could just see Warren Beatty being so confused in that moment.
Oh, poor Warren Beatty. I know.
So yes, Jub Jub. And apparently Jub Jub was named by Conan O'Brien.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yes. Well, we have spoken before about how I love commentaries,
yeah,
director's commentaries.
It's true.
So, okay, Clark, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that would be a fun way for people to understand why LB knows so much about The Simpsons.
Oh, you guys send in questions about The Simpsons.
Oh my God, yes. Please, any question that you have about The Simpsons will be answered.
Send in a question asking for advice as a character from The Simpsons.
Ask a question to us about The Simpsons traveling around the world. We know about every episode that they travel to different places in the world. All right, so let's move on to our final question of the podcast.
Okay.
And our final question is from Sean. All right, so Sean says, Hi, LB and Clark. My name is Sean, and I have a question about the COVID vaccine. I'm a Black man, and many people in the Black community do not trust the American government when it comes to this vaccine. For example, there was J. Marion Sims, who operated on slaves without anesthesia, and the Tuskegee experiments, and so on and so forth. The distrust is not unfounded. My mother, I recently found out, had her first vaccine and is the only member of my family to do so. She's in her 60s and works in healthcare. I also found out she was exposed to COVID due to her job 24 times. She's recently tested negative for COVID. She urges me to get vaccinated. I love and trust my mom, but the horror stories like Tuskegee ring in my mind. I am so over living in this COVID world, and mom is close to convincing me to get the shot, but doubt still lingers. What should I do? Help me out, please. I wanted to say I love the show, and it's a highlight of my week. Much love to you, LB and Clark. I don't know who the you is in that, because she
much
said,
love to you, LB and Clark.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Sean, very much for writing in.
Yeah. Great question.
My short answer is get the vaccine.
Yes.
My longer answer is your thoughtful recounting of everything. For anybody who might not know the Tuskegee, because we've heard of the Tuskegee Airmen. There's right. been a movie about them. That's not what Sean is talking about. Right. He's talking about a Tuskegee
experiment
medical subject where they took low-income African-American men who they thought were, you know, below average intelligence and promiscuous. Right. And it was about seeing what happened with untreated syphilis.
Yep.
And the men were lied to. They did not give consent. They were told, oh, you're getting free health care. I mean, it was disgusting.
But Lori Beth, that mm-hmm. must have happened 300, 500 years ago, right?
No, it ended in 1972.
Yeah.
So these fears and these questions and this skepticism and this mistrust is absolutely understandable.
Yep.
And it's, you know, but here's what I want to say. I went to go get my vaccine. I was not winked at and brought around the back to where the white people vaccines were.
Right.
You know, there right. were a mix of people. But here's what I'm going to lay out what I really thought when I read your question. The people that were fighting against this, the people that told us that COVID would go away mm-hmm. and we don't need ventilators and everyone go out by Easter of last year.
Right.
They're the same people who disregard Black Lives Matter.
Right.
They're the same people that praised Nazis at a march for having a permit.
Right.
You know, these are the people that didn't want this to happen. And we've done it. I had a lot to do with Dolly Parton had a lot to do with the
yeah.
vaccine.
Yeah, that's true.
But the forces mm-hmm. that tried to sweep this under the carpet, as it did affect in greater numbers minority communities.
Right.
They're not the ones that pushed to get this vaccine done. They're not the ones that pushed for the studies. They did everything they could to keep us fucking dying.
Right. Uninformed, ignorant.
Yeah. Misinformed.
Misinformed.
So I don't know if that can register at all with you. That, yes, and we've talked about it on the show before, racism is alive and well. And the difference nowadays is that we're talking about systemic racism more mm-hmm. than we ever have before.
Yep.
And these, you know, Tuskegee and this doc, I forget the doctor's name, and he's a yeah. piece of shit. We don't even need to. Well, no, what's his name?
J. Marion Sims.
Look it up if you're listening to this.
Horrifying.
Because this is the, you know, kind of disgusting bullshit that has happened in our country
right.
that our country was founded on. Slavery and all of that stuff, and go through Jim Crow and go through 1970 fucking two with the Tuskegee experiment.
That's right.
But we're here now in 2020 and 500,000 people are dead. I
yep.
don't even
more,
know.
No, more.
More than that. The people. And I'm not generalizing, but I totally am generalizing. The people that tried to keep this as a nothing, the people who didn't want anyone to take it seriously so the economy could, you know, flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? There's 500,000 less people to buy something.
That's right.
You know, and there's 500,000, oh, you know, maybe they're saying, oh, well, the mortuary business has skyrocketed,
right.
you know?
Right.
But the people, some people making policies to hurt minority communities, to hurt, you know, gay and trans and Black and brown and anything.
That's not a straight white male.
Exactly. And I might slip under and then be like, guess what? I'm a Jew.
Right.
And they'll be like, oh, fuck, how did she get through the door?
Exactly.
Those are the people that fought against us getting to this place.
And getting to the vaccination.
Exactly. Getting to the place where we are getting vaccinated. Right. I got vaccinated. Right. I was excited too.
Yep.
There, I have a friend who's a teacher. She works. Her school is primarily Hispanic and Latinx.
Sure.
And so many of them are misinformed and they are so afraid of INS, and they're not all illegals.
Right.
You know, they're not, they're citizens.
Right.
And they are so afraid of INS that they're not going to go get vaccinated.
Yep.
And this is the way our country was built. And people are fighting tooth and nail to pull it down.
Mm-hmm.
And keep what's good and just readjust to some modicum of human decency.
Yeah.
But we're talking about it.
It's true.
You, Sean, are a black guy writing to me.
Yeah.
A white girl from Nickelodeon.
Yep.
With this question, which I'm kind of honored by. When I read it, I'm like, this guy's writing to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm angry and have a political bent that we can all surmise from my, you know, tone and verbiage.
Yeah.
Sean, please go get vaccinated.
Yeah.
The forces that want to keep you as a second-class citizen fought against getting you a vaccine.
Yes.
And they fight against you getting to vote.
Yes.
And they fight against you getting the information you need.
Yes.
To have the opportunities that other people just get because, oh, I live in the right neighborhood.
That's right.
And we're living in this unbelievable moment of misinformation.
Yeah.
Based on greed.
Yep.
And that's where I am at this point within, you know, politics, within conspiracy theories, all that kind of shit. There's truth and there's greed.
Yep.
And I don't know. I can't say, oh, don't worry. The U.S. was so bad back then with Tuskegee in 1972.
Right, exactly.
That was almost 30 whole years ago. That's nothing. That's yesterday.
Yeah.
But this last year with COVID has been unprecedented since the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, you know, and that's been 100 years ago. There is something else that has happened this year worldwide that has led us to this moment, despite the best efforts of many pieces of shit.
That's right.
To create a situation where you can go online, book yourself an appointment.
That's right.
And get vaccinated the way that I did.
Yep.
And help protect your community.
And your family.
And your family. Say hi to your mama for me. She seems like the best. Mama, if you're listening to this, hey, baby. So thanks. I know that maybe wasn't the funniest answer I've ever given since I was pounding my shoe on the desk.
There's funny and there's the truth.
Yes, exactly.
So you got to give a little truth sometimes.
Sean, get vaccinated.
Please.
And you know what I'm going to say? I am starting a campaign. I want everybody to share and promote this, okay?
Okay.
On my Facebook, my Instagram, my Twitter, and I don't know what else I have. Maybe I'll throw it on my LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn. I was about to throw it.
I am starting a campaign. It's called 1 Million Hugs.
Oh.
And when we get to the point where it's feasible and safe, I will set up a booth somewhere and give 1 million hugs.
Right.
Maybe I'll go from city to city and do 100,000 here and 75 in a small town or whatever it is. But that is what I want. When Dr. Fauci says it's cool, because I put my faith in him.
Of course.
Spread the word.
Yeah. It begins. It starts.
Yes. Share my posts everywhere you can from any of those platforms and all of them. I want 1 million hugs to come to fruition. That means people getting vaccinated.
Yep.
That means people continuing with COVID guidelines, yep, even as we start returning to normal-ish.
And even after you get the vaccine.
After you get the vaccine, yes. We're still in it.
Yeah.
We're still in it.
And it's tiring. And it's been a long fucking time.
Yeah.
And I get it that it's like, you're ready to be done. I'm ready to be done too. I know you're ready to be done.
I'm ready to be done, and I'm ready to unload the million hugs I haven't given this last year.
Right.
On America.
But we can't do that until everyone decides to work together on this.
So go to my little sitey sites.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah.
And spread the word, because I want to give 1 million hugs. And I can't do that until we've all worked together enough and built enough trust so that we are all working towards getting better and getting back to life.
I agree. That is fantastic advice. I love that so much. But unfortunately, that is the last question of the day. So I'll wrap things up here by saying I had a great time, LB. Did you have fun today?
I feel a little exhausted.
I know. That last question was a little rough.
I kind of went the distance.
But you know what? It was very nice to hear a little bit of truth and reality.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for listening. We really do love all of you. If you have a question for Lori Beth, especially if it's travel related, you can, or Simpsons related, you can send it to us at asklorybeth.com. You can hit us up on all the socials at asklorybeth, or just leave your message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-DENBERG. That's 1-855-DENBERG, 1-855-336-2374.
And you can find me and spread the word about 1 million hugs at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter. There is the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook.
Nice.
And you can book me for, switching gears, you can book me for a personalized video at Cameo/Lori Beth. And now I'm doing a thing where you can get 24-hour turnover.
Oh.
So if you forgot your best friend's birthday until the last minute, you can come through with a personalized cameo
from me.
Yes. So hook it up, spread the word about everything, because I'm so serious about these million hugs.
Absolutely. That is a fantastic idea. I love, love, love that. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Bye, babies.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.